Because it's still the pollution.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Transportation House Finance Committee hearing for Tuesday, April 17th. I'd like to call the meeting to order. We do have a quorum. Representative Johnson, can you tear yourself away from that conversation to do your real work?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I'm glad to do that, although it's an important conversation because it's related to funding for public higher education. And I just met with some Teamsters who work at Minnesota State, and they're concerned about that. But back to the minutes.
Well, Representative Johnson, just in case you forgot, this is the Transportation Committee.
Well, these are Teamsters, so...
Oh, yeah, I love Teamsters. They're good people.
Anyway, I would like to do both minutes. I'd like to be so bold as to move that we approve the joint state government finance and transportation finance minutes of April 10th and the transportation minutes of April 12th.
You may be so bold. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by the same sign. Two for one, Representative Johnson. Good work. Members and guests, today we have the transportation finance bill rolling out. We will call up first House File 4160, to which we will amend the DE3 amendment to get the bill in the shape the author would like. All those in favor of the DE3 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by the same sign. 4160 is amended with the DE3. We're going to have staff walk through the bill, first the language of the bill and then the spreadsheet that goes with it, and I would like them to dive right in. I believe all those materials are in your packets. Mr. Burris, please identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony.
Mr. Chair and members, Matt Burris with House Research. I'll be starting the walkthrough of the DE amendment. This is the H4160 DE3 amendment. And starting with the language of policy and finance article. So that is on page 18 of the amendment. Just as a quick refresher, this is a omnibus that has a number of provisions that is a combination of bills that have been heard in committee as well as some other provisions being proposed in the amendment. And so it's kind of broken up into sections of the various bills. You know, the standard convention is that the language follows the statutory order with uncodified language at the end. So some provisions that relate from the original underlying bill or previous bill are broken up across multiple sections. So moving in to the language, section one is a change in the frequency of reporting on transit financial activity that the OLA undertakes with respect to the Met Council financials, as well as elimination of reporting requirements for the Joint Powers Board, the former CTIB board. Sections 2 and 3 are cross-references in the Data Practices Act. Section 4 is a data sharing provision between the DHS and the Met Council for Metro Mobility Services. Section 5 is one of a few different changes relating to bicycles. This is a definition change to centralize bikeway definition. Section 6 is a MnDOT specific service sign provision relating to farm wineries. Section 7 is one of several provisions that came from the Department of Transportation. This is on legislative route relocation. Sections 8, 9, 10, and 11 all establish memorial highways and bridges. Section 12 is another agency provision on raising the limit for direct negotiations instead of bids based on a dollar threshold for the contract. Section 13 is also a MnDOT provision on employment preferences on projects near Indian reservations. Section 14 relates to registration of decommissioned military vehicles, so Humvees, for instance, permitting their operation on public roads. There's a corresponding section later in the bill on the titling side. Section 15 is a conforming change that goes along with the following section, Section 16. This provides for deputy registrars to handle fleet registration transactions. And I might note that there are a few different. Well, this has a delayed effective date of July 1, 2019. And just pausing, kind of backing up a step, because appropriations are being made in the bill, the default effective date will be July 1, 2018, so the start of the upcoming fiscal year, unless it's otherwise specified in the language. Section 17 relates to expedited transactions. It's a directive to the Department of Public Safety to provide that type of functionality and allow driver's license agents and deputy registrars to handle expedited transactions. This has a delayed effective date of November 1st, 2019. And then Section 18, now on page 25 of the delete all, allows for deputy registrars to handle transactions by mail. Section 19 will actually go along with an appropriation that's in Article 1. And this is similar but modified a bit from a provision that was heard in committee on reimbursement aid to deputy registrars. So this establishes reimbursement aid. It's formula-based, similar to what was heard in committee. This was a Representative Baker provision. The language in this would be set up to be ongoing, depending each year on appropriations. So we'll be kind of circling back around to that once we get to the finance appropriations articles. Section 20 is a data sharing provision for trade associations. This is in conjunction with fuel retailer and driveways on fuel tracking vehicles down. Section 21 goes along with the previous section on decommissioned military vehicles, so this is the titling, explicit titling authority. Section 22 is a provision on salvage titles, and it broadens the situations when a salvage title is required. And this was modified from a bill that had been heard in committee earlier to also make a change with regard to self-insured vehicle owners. Section 23 is a technical change that eliminates expired language, and that's part of the language from the underlying House File 4160. Sections 24 and 25 are definition and definition changes that also have a substantive impact on bicycle regulations. Section 26 is a definition change on railroad train, and this allows for on-track equipment to be regarded in the same manner as railroad trains. There are a few other conforming changes a little bit later in the delete all, but overall this is the stopping for on-track equipment requirements of motorists. Sections 27 through 29 make some modifications to bicyclist traffic regulations with provisions on passing bicyclists as well as where bicyclists can operate on roadways, and changes in, along with the previous definition changes, modifications to what constitutes the shoulder of a roadway, and then some technical changes. Sections 30 through 32 go along with the railroad train changes. So then moving to the bottom of page 33, also section 33, is a provision on allowing for licensed physical therapists to issue documentation in order for someone to obtain a disability parking certificate or disability plates. Section 34 has a change in school bus rub rail color, allowing for the color yellow. Section 35 is another MnDOT agency provision on length of vehicles and allowing for backhaul for some types of vehicles that transport automobiles. Section 36 is a MnDOT provision on a special permit that allows for use of the permit on a portion of Interstate Highway 35. Section 37 establishes some emergency vehicle weight limits on interstate highways. This is another MnDOT agency provision. Sections 38 and 39 address motor vehicle weight limits for sewage septic tank trucks, expanding the limits in some situations. And I'll note that there is some technical changes in Section 39 new to the delete all. Section 40 is a change on motorcycle permit holders allowing for operating the motorcycle on interstate highways. Section 41 is a technical change eliminating obsolete language on the technology surcharge that is now expired. Section 42 is a governor's proposal establishing a transportation facilities capital program. So this is in the governor's bonding bill. There's a corresponding bonding that we'll be touching on later that funds this program. The program allows for MnDOT to identify capital projects that extend the useful life of the buildings or renovate or construct department buildings. The programmatic language establishes accounts, puts limits around use of trunk highway bonds, or clarifies those limits, and directs the department to set up prioritization criteria as well as establish eligibility. Section 43 is a conforming change that will go along with some provisions I'll get back to, I guess. Sections 44 and 45 modify hours of service for some types of interstate and intrastate agricultural transportation. Sections 46 to 61, as well as that previous section, 43, modified tariff filing requirements for household goods movers. So there's a series of changes around the filing, the availability, and as well as a repealer later. Sections 52 to 58 establish a new freight rail economic development program, and this is a program that would largely replace the Minnesota Rail Service Improvement Program, or MRSI program. So it establishes new accounts and lays out various aspects of the program requirements. The delete all takes into account a couple of amendments that had been adopted in committee, but the delete all does contain some additional changes, including on establishing an account for bond proceeds, clarification of the agency authority, expanding what kinds of expenditures are permissible, and making some technical changes. So that's a number of sections. So I'll then move to section 59. This is another piece of the underlying House File 4160 that establishes a new fund for driver and vehicle services. And sections 59 and 60 together create the new fund and move the current operating accounts for driver and vehicle services into that fund, as well as the technology account. And then sections 61 to 82, so it's quite a number of sections, relate to airport zoning and planning provisions. This is another MnDOT agency bill. So I'll move to page 70, section 83. This is a requirement of the Met Council to provide to the legislature copies, summaries, and copies of changes to its amendments to its budget. Section 84 is a directive to the Metropolitan Council to provide a financial overview and a forecast of revenues and expenditures that would be provided in conjunction with each of the state forecasts in the November and February forecasts. Section 85 is a change in the Metro Mobility Service Area that would have the effect of expanding coverage to Lakeville. The delete all does include a change in the effective date, so that's pushed out to July 1, 2019, so fiscal year 2020. Section 86 is another piece of the data sharing provisions between DHS and the Met Council, and it also includes notification opt-out provisions for those who might not want to have data shared. Section 87 establishes a definition on operating costs, and this is with respect to limitations around and requirements around payments of operating costs for light rail transit. This has changed from the underlying House File 3369, which was the old transportation policy omnibus, in that the language is being codified in the section that actually deals with light rail transit operating costs. Section 88 establishes that state funds do not come from, or state funds would not cannot be used for light rail transit capital costs. This is the capital provision. Section 89 is another MnDOT agency provision on use of performance bonds, or actually waiving requirements for performance bonds in some situations. And then sections 90 through 95 are a series of legislative turnbacks or legislative route changes as part of turnbacks, again, part of MnDOT agency provisions, through section 96. And then section 97 is a loan conversion to a grant and a lien release. And this goes along with this an old or an outstanding Mercy loan, the Minnesota Rail Service Improvement Program loan. Section 98 is a directive to MnDOT to commence negotiations on potential extension of the North Star rail line. It sets out various requirements on the negotiations and what the project would need to look like. Section 99 is a directive to the Department of Public Safety to seek a federal waiver from regulations that require a passenger endorsement in operating a school bus, and that waiver would only be for in order to get a purchased bus delivered. Section 100 contains a couple of technical changes. One is around relocating a definition on bicycles or relating to bicycles. And then the other goes along with the establishment of the new driver and vehicle services fund, moving those operating accounts. Section 101 contains a series of repealers. Each of these relate to past provisions that have been highlighted. So the paragraph A is a part of the House File 4160 technical cleanup that eliminates obsolete surcharge and fee language. Paragraph B relates to household goods movers tariff elimination. Paragraph C is part of the changes to airport zoning. And then paragraphs D and E involve elimination of the Mercy program and that being shifted over to the new FRED program that's proposed in the bill. And then finally, Section 102 sets up the effective dates and application provisions around airport zoning. And that, Mr. Chair, then takes us to the fiscal and appropriations part of the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Burris, for running through the language of the bill. Next, we'll turn back to the beginning of the bill, I think. Well, introduce yourself for the record, please, and tell us if you want to work off the spreadsheet of the bill.
Mr. Chair and members, my name is Andrew Lee from House Fiscal Staff. I'll work off the fiscal, spreadsheet that looks like this. That's give everyone a moment to find it.
Working on it. Members, have you all located your spreadsheets? I want to make sure we're all up to speed. Looks good. The long one, right, Mr. Lee?
Mr. Chair, members, that's correct.
All right. I think everybody has it up. Thank you for your patience.
Mr. Chair and members, so starting at the top, I'll note the items that are highlighted here are only the change items. So I'm not showing the base that was passed into law last year. I'm just showing the money changes that are occurring in this amendment. And on the left-hand side of the spreadsheet are the governor's recommendations. On the right-hand side of the spreadsheet are the appropriations in this bill. So the first item on line 6 is $2 million in general fund one time for the Rochester International Airport. Then on line 21 or 22 and 23 are appropriations related to the new FRED account. The first item is a $5 million appropriation from the general fund to the new FRED account, and then $2 million in the tails each year. There's also a grant on line 23 of the FRED account for a railroad bridge in New Brighton, $1.55 million. And that occurs out of the special revenue fund. That's the new FRED account, but in a sense, the FRED account is getting money from that $5 million that is initially going in. Then moving on, there's a number of trunk highway change items. The first is on line 35. That's an increase for the state roads operations and maintenance of about $11 million. Then under planning and research, there are a number of specific riders within the $2 million appropriations increase, $500,000 for a study of doing an additional lane on I-94 between St. Cloud and St. Michael, and $500,000 for a study on an interchange in 35W in Rice County, and then a base increase that's one time in fiscal 2019. In program delivery on line 53 and 54 are two. The line 53 is just a general appropriations increase. That's one time. And on line 54 is a grant to the City of Virginia relating to utility relocation relating to the Highway 53 bridge. And I should note that it doesn't show up in the governor's supplemental budget, but he does recommend that in his bonding bill. And it is general fund in both. Then moving down to line 64, there's an appropriations increase of $48.155 million for state road construction. On line 72, an appropriations increase that's one time for corridors of commerce. And moving on to the next page. On line 80 is showing the debt service increase cost for trunk highway bonds that is at the governor's recommended level in the capital investment in his capital investment bill. So that's the cost for covering debt service of about $40 million in trunk highway bonds. And then on line 81 is the cost of issuing about $250 million in new trunk highway bonds. And so you can see on line 81 in fiscal 19, the new trunk highway cost of debt service is about $2.3 million. And then it grows in the tails at about $11 million in 2020 and $19 million in 2021. Moving on, there's a few one-time spending items, about $25 million in increased appropriation to the county state aid highway system. And on line 90 and then on line 99, about $6.6 million in increase to the municipal state aid street system. There's also an appropriations increase in a base set for small cities at $7 million in fiscal 19 and about $8 million in 2020 and 2021. And that's out of the general fund. On line 115, there's a one-time appropriation for township road aid at $2 million in 2019. Moving on to the Metropolitan Council. There are two appropriations in fiscal 2019, $2.5 million for suburban transit providers for capital and $1 million for operating. That's on line 139 and 140. And then on 141, there is an increase to the base for the Metropolitan Council in the tails at about 927,000 in 2020 and 910 in 2021. And that's relating to the fiscal note for the Metro Mobility Extension to Lakeville. On line 152 is a elimination of a HUTD appropriation to the Department of Public Safety at $1.366 million a year starting in fiscal 19. And then moving on, I'll note right here on the page 3 on line 161 is the governor's recommendation for general fund at $10 million for the deputy registrars. That's included in the amendment in front of you, but it's under a different agency, so it's a different spot in the spreadsheet. And you can also see a number of governor's changes in driver and vehicle services on the left-hand side of the spreadsheet. Then on the bill in front of you on line 188 is the general fund appropriation of $9 million a year starting in the tails in fiscal 2020 out of the general fund through Minnesota management and budget. On line 189 is a $9 million appropriation in fiscal 18 for the deputy registrars, and that occurs out of the special revenue fund. From lines 196 to 203 are the appropriations totals. I'll move down to the revenue items. So on line 210 is a general fund transfer to the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund at $76.1 million, and that's one time in fiscal 19. The next few lines that you see under that, lines 211 through 215, are the constitutional transfers, sort of the cascade effect of the constitutional formula within the HUTD. So those amounts correspond with appropriations further in the spread or before in the spreadsheet for increases for county state aid, municipal state aid, streets, and trunk highway. There on line 218 is the cost for the loan forgiveness that was mentioned by Mr. Burris earlier. On line 219 and 220 are showing the elimination of the DVS Special Revenue Fund and the creation of a new account in the Treasury. That's essentially showing the balance switching between the two. On line 221 is from a fiscal note prepared by MMB relating to the Deputy Registrar reimbursement. This is showing their estimated administrative costs for distributing the $9 million in Deputy Registrar aid. This, however, is not an appropriation. This is just from the fiscal note showing within their existing appropriation how much MMB thought it would cost in terms of staff time. Similarly, on line 222 is the estimated staff time for the MnDOT's cost for the New Brighton Bridge grant. Moving on to the last page of the spreadsheet, this shows the total general fund impact. So most of that, if you look on line 237, most of that impact is the transfer to the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund, which is on line 235, and you can see the other general fund direct appropriations on line 234. Very briefly, in the box at the bottom shows the distribution of the 250 $0.25 million in new trunk highway bond authorization, with $145 million going to corridors of commerce, $75 million going to railroad grade separations on trunk highways, $30 million going to the trunk highways facilities program, that's the governor's recommendation in the capital investment bill, and $250,000 for debt service. And with that, I think Mr. Burris will walk through a few riders in Article 1.
Thank you. Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair and members, so jumping back to the DE3 amendment, Article 1 contains the appropriations that Mr. Lee just outlined. So Section 1 provides for the summary. Section 2 contains the Department of Transportation appropriations. So on page 2, you'll see the appropriation for a grant to Rochester for the airport. as well as funds for the Rice Creek Railroad Bridge. And then on page 3, state roads appropriations are begin along with including a couple of the feasibility study in riders. Then page 4 continues state road funding, including the grant to the City of Virginia for the U.S. Highway 53 project, as well as requirements in the state road construction appropriation around establishment of permanent general purpose lanes under some situations. Page 5 continues the appropriations for state roads, corridors of commerce, as well as the highway, the debt service funds for the trunk highway bonds. Page 5 also begins the local roads funding appropriations for counties, municipalities, and then on to the next page, small cities and town roads. And then also on page 6, there's a requirement of MnDOT to implement interagency billing in relation to tribal training activities. Page 6 as well contains the appropriation to the Metropolitan Council that is for financial assistance to suburban transit providers for both operations as well as capital improvements. And then on page 7, you'll find the appropriation to MMB, and this is for the Deputy Registrar Grant Program. So this establishes a fiscal 18 appropriation from the special revenue from the driver and vehicle services accounts split between the two different accounts, as well as a general fund base for the TAILS. And then page 8 makes a modification to the 2017 budget. The actual substantive language is on page 10, and this broadens the requirements around a grant to the Civil Air Patrol for a new facility. That language continues so that we come to page 13. Section 6 and 7 establish the elimination of the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund appropriation to the Department of Public Safety for public safety support. And then on page 14, Section 8 contains the transfer in order to provide for the funding for state and local roads. So this moves the fiscal 19 general fund dollars out of the general fund into the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund. And members may recall that there is then a formula-based allocation that automatically kicks in, and the appropriations are then from the various funds that receive dollars as a result of that transfer, so county state aid, municipal state aid, and trunk highway. Section 9 contains a transfer that is part of the shift from Mercy to FRED. That's back on the rail provision. Section 10 provides clarification on the status of fiscal 19 appropriations, that they remain in place for Department of Public Safety after the transfer of those operating accounts into the new Driver and Vehicle Services Fund. And then Section 11 contains the grant requirements around the Rice Creek Railroad Bridge. And then Article 2 on page 16 contains the trunk highway bonding. So Section 2 is the bulk of the bond proceeds appropriations. At the bottom of page 16, you'll see the corridors of commerce funding. And then on page 17 is the $75 million for highway rail grade separations, and this is a requirement for trunk highway grade separations with some additional specificity on types of projects outlined there. And then $30 million is for the Transportation Facilities Capital Program that was discussed earlier. And then finally an appropriation for to MMB for the bond sale expenses. And then concluding that article on page 18 is the bond sale authorization language. And that, Mr. Chair, is the delete all and a walkthrough of the appropriations.
Thank you, Mr. Burris. Thank you, Mr. Lee, for running through the bill. Appreciate that very much. Members, virtually none of you have had a chance to look at this in advance, and I'm going to lay out what I know will be the schedule for the rest of the week. So today we're going to get done early. It's my intention that Republican members, we will huddle as soon as this committee adjourns today, and we'll use up the rest of our allotted committee time in huddle. I don't know if we have a room. We're working on a room for that, and we'll let you know where we're going to huddle. It's up to you on the minority side what you want to do at that time. So that's what will happen today. Tomorrow we will be back in this room at 1 o'clock, and we'll be taking public feedback. So members of the public that would like to comment on the bill are welcome to sign up with the committee administrator. We're going to limit testimony to 3 minutes per person. We believe there will be quite a few people on the agenda. If needed, we have reserved a room for tomorrow night to continue public testimony into the evening. The timing on that is dependent on the caucuses that are meeting, I believe, at 5 o'clock tomorrow. So it would be after the last caucus adjourns, we may be back in this room for... We'd be in 120 in the Capitol on Wednesday evening if we have more public testimony to be taken on Wednesday. Then Thursday, we will be back in this room at 1 o'clock at our regular committee time to mark up the bill and take amendments. We would like amendments to be submitted by 4 p.m. on Wednesday, so that gives you a little over a day to get amendments in. And again, on Thursday, if necessary, if we don't get through all the amendments and the markup of the bill, on Thursday we would again go back into 120 in the Capitol on Thursday evening after floor session adjourns. If we can get all that work done by the time we run out of time on Thursday, we'll be done for the week. It's my hope that we do not need to come back on Friday, although it is a possibility. If we have trouble getting our work done. With that, Representative Hornstein, did you want to add something? Representative Hornstein.
Mr. Chair, DFL will also meet now. We didn't anticipate we'd have this time. We were going to meet later today. So I hope if people can't make it, just let me know. But I think this is probably preferable than our later time.
Okay. With that, we're not going to take questions today. I know this is fresh for everybody. I want to give people a chance to digest the bill. I want to give us both caucuses a chance to huddle on the bill, and we'll start again with public testimony tomorrow, and then amendments and marking up the bill on Thursday. Any questions on the schedule? If not, members, this meeting is adjourned.